morning madhouse. No limit, Larry in here morning madhouse. Pressure, gotta beat the pack out. 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., we gon' act out. Bet it, Charlotte, we trapped out. Larry and Burpee was popping, we locked in. Jessica Fine, I got her on my top 10. Power 98, the best in the city. Incognito by the mix in the kitchen. In the business, Ricky Ruck is the realest. The block of the street, it ain't no competition. Power 98, you know we the move. Shock and Butter, about to do what it do. Concord, Gas House, Rock Hill. Gaff the Lancaster, it don't stop there. Bet it's for a roll, Nation for a roll. Hidden Valley, North Charlotte, stop where? Yeah. This my spot, yeah. Morning madhouse, don't stop, yeah. Power 98 on top, yeah. Shawty got the game on lock. This my spot, yeah. Morning madhouse, don't stop, yeah. Power 98 on top, yeah. Shawty got the game on lock.
Got it on lock.
Morning madhouse, don't stop, yeah.
You know what it is, Lil' Larry, the morning madhouse, man. Clocking in one time, Today is Friday inside the madhouse. Boy, we locked, we loaded. It's a Friday fun day. Let's get to it. Today's highs actually going to be right in the 84 with a lot of sunshine. Probably kind of skies kick your morning off. And then later on this afternoon, the rain chances are going to increase. And we should get some rain before the end of the day. But rain chances probably about between 2:30 and 3. And then definitely by 5 o'clock, we should have some rain and continue throughout the night. Then clear out by late tonight. Making way for a beautiful weekend with the weekend temperatures in the late 80s, early 90s for the weekend with sunshine all weekend long. So, fellas, hold off washing the car today, washing tomorrow, and you should be good, all right? Here the madhouse with me this morning. Y'all say what's up to Miss Jessica, the girl next door.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you. We're all in our places with bright smiling faces, and this is the way we start our new day. Good morning, everyone.
What up, though?
Hey, Nana, how you doing?
I'm good. How you feeling?
I'm better today. I'm better this morning. I don't know if you've seen this video, but there is a new video that is out, and it shows the death of George Floyd from a different angle. And it's bad, Larry.
Yeah, I saw. Another video.
Bad. And when I saw it yesterday, I completely had a breakdown. After seeing it. The first video was bad. And if you had trouble watching that one, you don't need to watch this one. I just wasn't ready for it. It's bad.
Yes.
It's bad, and anybody who says anything different and does not understand why these protesters are going on, and furthermore, why people are upset, probably needs to sit down and take a look at that video.
Okay. Also in the madhouse with me this morning, y'all say what's up to comedian Bobby?
I say good morning.
Mooresville.
Good morning.
Morganton.
Good morning.
Monroe.
Good morning.
All the way back to Shout Out America, big dog.
Good morning.
What's up, Bert?
What's happening?
How you feeling in the morning?
I'm cool, man. It's Friday.
It is a Friday.
You know?
Yeah.
My favorite day of the week.
We here with it. You know, it seemed like we got here fast, but we here with it. And
right.
You just realize, man, we are 6 months into 2020 and feel like I ain't did absolutely nothing as far as, I mean, I feel like I've done stuff, you know.
I feel like I ain't did nothing, but 2020 doing way too much.
2020 is doing a lot. The year started off crazy with the death of Kobe Bryant, so we already knew it was going to be
right,
a crazy type year, but
yeah.
Damn. Just feel like you just been cooped up and just need to go somewhere and let it all out. Just let me go somewhere and let it all out. Let it hang out in the street somewhere. Yeah. They feel like I've been active, but you know, usually I would have taken about 3-4 vacations. But, and a lot of people say they feel like that. They just feel like they cooped up in 2020 and it's like, they say they're not going to count this year toward their life.
Oh, okay.
This don't count to it.
Okay.
This, we're going to throw this one out the window. We're going to be like 2018, 2019, 2021. That's what I've been hearing and seeing a lot of people saying. So that's how it's been going down for me. But yeah, man, what you do yesterday?
What was yesterday? Thursday?
I think so. That's the day before Friday.
Right. I had some meetings yesterday. Very progressive meetings. A lot of clubs are opening back up. Comedy clubs, that is. So just had some meetings about dates and we're getting back on the road and different things that I'm putting together. And that's it.
And you know, speaking of comedy clubs, Comedy Zone has been doing these Facebook connects where they've been having comedians come in and do like 15-minute segments free on their Facebook page. Mm-hmm. So shout out to them for that. I think my man Nick Lewis is actually on there this week, or he's doing something. He's doing something tomorrow. I don't know if it's through the Comedy Zone, but I know Nick Lewis is doing a comedy, stand-up comedy this weekend on Facebook. So shout out to him for that. And shout out to everybody, man, finding new ways to, you know, stay connected with their people. So shout out to him for that. Y'all already know what it is, man. It's a Friday inside the Madhouse. We got, folks stopping through. We got folks calling in. Shout out to, Christy Puckett Williams, activist here in the city. She's gonna be on the Madhouse in the 8 o'clock hour, as well as the, they had a memorial service for George Floyd in Minneapolis, on yesterday. It was like that though. If you missed it, it took place at 2 o'clock our time, 1 o'clock, Minnesota time. And boy, listen, it was like that. Mm. It was like that. T.I. was in the building. Tyrese, Ludacris, Will Packer, Kevin Hart, Al Sharpton delivered the eulogy. Ben Crump spoke, and his brother also spoke too, which was moving. And some other family members spoke at the memorial service on yesterday, and I'm hearing they have more memorial services that'll be going down. We have more information on that inside the Madhouse. But yesterday's service was beautiful. He had a gold casket, which was dope. And you know, I think sometimes people forget Reverend Al Sharpton is a reverend. You know, he's been such an activist with his National Action Network. I think sometimes we forget that Reverend Al is a reverend.
Right.
But he brought it yesterday. You know, you got to give people their props. I know y'all get on Al Sharpton and y'all say this about Al and talk about his perm, but Al brought it yesterday.
He was talking to them people.
He brought it yesterday.
Yeah,
he brought it yesterday. I got to give it to him. He brought it yesterday.
Yeah.
From top to bottom, from the beginning of it
to the end.
Well,
we're talking to him.
Al brought it. Ben Crump brought it too. The lawyer, he brought it too. But Al? Yeah, he was on one. We're gonna let y'all hear a little bit of that eulogy this morning in that 6 o'clock hour. So y'all keep it tapped in if you missed it. All right, today's inspirational power word of the morning is coming from Pastor R.J. Davis of Nations Forward Community Church.
Good morning, I'm Pastor R.J. Davis, and this is your moment of inspiration. The Book of Psalms expresses a broad range of human emotions. The writers ask questions that many of us ask today about God's presence in times of difficulty and expressing the feelings of being abandoned or forsaken. The Psalms give us permission to voice our worst fears and concerns to God. It's okay to tell God what you're feeling. He can handle your emotions and knows already what you're thinking. But while it's important to voice our feelings, it's even more critical to voice back to God His promises. Because the truth is that God does not leave us. He never has, and He never will. The Bible tells us over and over again, God will never leave you nor forsake you. Our faith must rest in the unshakable promise of God, not in our fickleness of our feelings. So when your emotions tell you God has abandoned you, it's time for your faith to say, God has promised to be with me. I'm Pastor R.J. Davis, and this has been your morning inspiration on Power 98.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
Today's inspirational power song of the morning is coming from the Canton Spirituals. I recommend Charlotte's plug is Power 98. I recommend.
Okay.
I recommend Jesus.
Okay.
Can't tell me I wasn't singing that song.
I could be.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot. I recommend Jesus, baby. The kind of spirituals right now.
I recommend it.
They brought it this morning.
I recommend it. Come on now.
I recommend.
Somebody better talk to him.
I recommend you grab your Bible. I recommend. It's the Morning Madhouse.
This is WPEG Concord, Charlotte, Gaston, your Rock Hill.
Way more fresher.
Charlotte's number one for hip hop and R&B.
All day, every day.
And your home for No Limit Larry in the Morning Madhouse. Every morning.
Here on Power 98.
I recommend. Little baby, something to prove. Charlotte's plug. On the way to your radio, the Madhouse question of the day. Hit the hashtag MHQOTD. MHQOTD, your Madhouse question of the day. Charlotte's plug. Little baby's Power 98. No Limit Larry in the Morning Madhouse. Charlotte's Plug for new hip-hop and R&B. Yeah. Oh, man, it'll be funny stuff coming down on YouTube, man. What in the world is going on? All right, it's No Limit Larry in the Morning Madhouse. Today's high is going to be right near 84, 70 degrees. And y'all already know, man, we got some rain in the forecast for later on this afternoon. Rain chances increase heavily about 2:30, 3 o'clock. And then it's going to be with us throughout the day on and off. Watch out for these. Like I said, we got some big thunderstorms around the area, so we're going to see what's happening. We're going to let you know as it progresses this morning. Speaking of progressing this morning, y'all already know what time it is. It's time to hit the hashtag, MHQOTD, your Madhouse question of the day.
Let's talk about who? What? Let's talk about who? Let's talk about who? What? Let's talk about
All right, Madhouse Nation, it is time for your Madhouse question of the day. Today, we want to know, who would you support as a leader in this movement? We've heard a lot of conversation about we need leaders, we need leaders. So who is the leader that you would support in this movement?
You know, a lot of people, like you said, you know, they said, you know, during the Civil Rights Movement, we had Martin, we had Malcolm, and a few others. So, you know, this movement we have going on now, a lot of people keep saying, we don't have any leaders. So who would you support? I think I would support my man, Sean King. You know, he does a lot. And then when stuff happens, you know, a lot of people turn to him for direction. A lot of people turn to him to see, you know, exactly what's going on and what type of moves they should make. So I think I would support Sean King if he just went on here, because I think he's already engulfed in the movement. I just think if he just went on ahead and just said, listen, I'm the leader. I mean, I think he's doing it without saying it, but that's who I would support. I would support Sean King.
I would support like a Jamie Foxx. He's been doing a lot.
Okay.
To lead protest. I would definitely support Nick Cannon.
Okay.
He's been out there in Minnesota in the streets. Every time something has happened, he was in Minnesota, he went to St. Louis, Minnesota a couple years ago when Philando Castile got shot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, those are two that I've seen who haven't been making it about them being a celebrity going out there. They've just been going out there and supporting the cause.
Mm-hmm.
So I would support them.
Okay. Jessica? Okay. All right. Well, we tap in on it. You can tap in on it on the Madhouse. You can definitely can tap in on the Madhouse page at Morning Madhouse on IG. You can hit my page at I Am No Limit Larry, or you can hit Burpee's page
at I Am Burpee, B-U-R-P-I-E, all one word.
Well, we definitely want to hear your voices. So if you, got somebody you would support and you want to leave it on our voicemail, 704-227-8780, 704-227-8780. Who would you support as a leader in this movement?
Start the whip. Turn up the radio. Your morning is lit.
Give me that
with No Limit Larry in the Morning Madhouse on Power 98.
Power 98 WPG, Charlotte's Plug for new hip hop and R&B. It is No Limit Larry in the Morning Madhouse. Friday edition of the Morning Madhouse. And of course, we gotta let y'all hear some stuff that went down at the memorial for George Floyd on yesterday. Al Sharpton delivered the eulogy, did a magnificent job to me. George Floyd had a gold casket. I don't know, is that the one that Floyd Mayweather took care of? I just know it was a gold casket. It was dope.
He said he was taking care of his entire funeral service, didn't he?
That's what he said.
Floyd Mayweather?
That's what he said. But he did have a gold casket. They had if you missed it, they had a mural of George Floyd on the wall. And he said, I could breathe now. That was dope. The family came up and spoke. T.I. was in attendance along with Ludacris, Kevin Hart, Will Packer. I think Bernie Sanders and Tyrese was also in there. It was dope. And Reverend Al got up to deliver the eulogy. And this is part of his eulogy, at the end where he was talking about America having its knee on black folks' neck. We'll play it. And then after that, let y'all tap in, Madhouse Nation. Y'all can tell us, you know, if you watched the memorial service, what you thought about it. And after you hear this, you can tell us what you think about this. Reverend Al Sharpton, Power 98.
George Floyd's story has been the story of black folks. Because ever since 401 years ago, The reason we could never be who we wanted and dreamed to be in is you kept your knee on our neck. We were smarter than the underfunded schools you put us in, but you had your knee on our neck. We could run corporations and not hustle in the street, but you had your knee on our neck. We had creative skills. We could do whatever anybody else could do, but we couldn't get your knee off our neck. What happened to Floyd happens every day in this country, in education, in health services, and in every area of American life. It's time for us to stand up in George's name and say, get your knee off our necks. But I'm more hopeful today than ever. Why? Well, let me go back. Reverend Jackson always taught me, stay on your text. Go back to my text, Ecclesiastes. There is a time and a season. And when I looked this time and saw marches where, in some cases, young whites outnumbered the blacks marching, I know that it's a different time and a different season. When I looked and saw people in Germany marching for George Floyd, it's a different time and a different season. When they went in front of the parliament in London, England, and said it's a different time and a different season, I come to tell you, America, this is the time of dealing with accountability in the criminal justice system.
570-WPEG. What y'all thought about that, and what did you think about the memorial service? Charlotte's plug is Power 98.
The morning turn up is real.
Okay. Act up to get special.
Wake your ass up with No Limit Larry in the morning madhouse in the morning. On Power 98.
Power98FM.com is your one stop for everything hip-hop and R&B in the Queen City.
Find out what your favorite personalities are doing. Find out about the hottest events happening in Charlotte, the latest celebrity gossip, and get up on the new music we're playing.
Done deal. You'll also find out how you can get your song played on the radio.
Play my song.
All this, and you can listen live and take us everywhere you go.
So log on now and see what you've been missing.
Power98FM.com.
I wanna get with you, yeah, I wanna get them out of the picture, yeah. I'm in my vision, yeah, inspired the difference, yeah.
Floyd's story has been the story of black folks. Because ever since 401 years ago, the reason we could never be who we wanted and dreamed to be in is you kept your knee on our neck.
598 WPG, Charlotte's plug for new hip-hop and R&B. Reverend Al Sharpton right there delivering the eulogy at George Floyd's memorial on yesterday. It was a beautiful service. Gold casket for Mr. Floyd. It was dope. What did y'all think about it? Just what you thought about the memorial service?
I thought the memorial service was beautiful. I loved that the message, the eulogy message, just all together enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
Okay. Bert, what you thought about it?
It was powerful, man. It was powerful. Just seeing all of those people, especially the celebrities, go to a person's funeral that they never met, never spoke to, never knew. But that just speaks to how what happened to him literally hit everybody. It hit everybody. And when his daughter was on Stephen Jackson's shoulders and she said, my daddy changed the world. He literally changed the world. Unfortunately, what happened to him happened. But you see people in Paris, out in the streets, saying RIP George Floyd. London. All those other countries. Like, it's never been this global. It was focused more on here in the States before, but now it's global. So, just the memorial service, that was powerful. Al Sharpton's speech was amazing. And I hope it doesn't stop after this.
Mm-hmm. And they're saying now that because the protests have been held in all 50 states and globally, you know, in different parts of the world, this is the biggest civil rights movement ever.
Well, you know, and you got to think, I think you have to attribute that to social media. You know, back during our civil rights movement here in the United States, there was no social media. Mm-hmm. So social media allows the world to see what's going on no matter where you are and where you're from. So you have to attribute that to social media. I know a lot of times social media gets a bad name or a bad rap, but you know, this is a direct reflection of what social media can be used for and the tools that it was created for, to bring the world into your world. So I think that's why we have this big movement going on right now. I thoroughly enjoyed the memorial service. It was dope from top to bottom. Even with, the lawyer Ben Crump coming out, him kicking it off, and him addressing the autopsy report and him saying, talking about the COVID and them saying that he had that in his body, and he said, let's be clear. Let's make one thing. He started off by saying, let's make one thing clear. Mm-hmm. George Floyd did not die from COVID. And everybody stood up and clapped. But you know, that from that point on, it was though, even the president of North Central University, his speech was dope. Mm-hmm. He got up, did his thing, and then Reverend Al Sharpton, like I said earlier, I think a lot of people forget, you know, that Reverend Al Sharpton is a reverend. This is what he do. And he got up there, and he brought it, man. You know, from the beginning, from when he got up there, and he talked about what scripture he was going to go to, the Ecclesiastes, and he talked about, you know, it's a time and it's a season for things. And that was the narrative of the memorial service. And he stayed right in that and right in that pocket. Mm. And he brought, like I said, I keep saying he brought it because he did. And then in the beginning of his speech, he said, you know, he addressed the fact that a lot of people say Al Sharpton like want the cameras and Al Sharpton want publicity. And he said, I do. Y'all don't call me for nothing. Y'all know what it is when you call Reverend Al. You call me for a reason, and I'm here for that reason. And he showed up and showed out and brought it home. What we played this morning was the end of the eulogy.
It was a piece.
But the whole thing, the whole thing was definitely on point. If you missed it, you definitely can check our website. We'll have it up. So,
Going into addition. In addition to what you stated earlier, Larry, this is just one four memorial services that will take place for George Floyd. One of them happening right here in North Carolina, in Rayford, North Carolina, which is right outside of Fayetteville, which is actually where George Floyd was born. That one is going to take place tomorrow.
And they're also having one in Houston, right?
Yes. Yeah. He lived there for a period of time before he moved to Minnesota. So, you know, he's got some ties right here in North Carolina. They're going to have four different memorial services for him.
And I keep saying people who was at the funeral, Stephen Jackson, who was a friend of mine, he was at the funeral as well. So, you know, I don't know if they're related, but I know they're good. They were definitely good friends. They were good friends because they actually look alike. Mm-hmm. They actually look alike. And Jack was definitely there and definitely supporting the family. And he's definitely hurt right now, like the rest of America. But if you got a comment, you want to talk about it, what you thought about the memorial service and what you heard this morning that we played back, 570-WPEG, we the plug. 598-WPG, Charlotte's plug for new hip-hop and R&B is another Larry in the Morning Madhouse. Charlotte's plug for new hip-hop and R&B. Stuff you might have missed in the news, you know, because the George Floyd Memorial took over television yesterday. Stuff you might have missed in the news on yesterday. You know, we talked about the Trina situation. She came back and apologized on yesterday and tried to clear up her comments. I mean, I don't know if you heard the apology. I heard it.
Nope, I didn't.
I heard the apology. And what Trick, does that sound like and of course, Trick Daddy stood up for her, like you know, that's his homie. So he stood up for her, and he said, "If you know Trina, you know she's not that type of person."
We don't know Trina.
My thing is, you said what you said, and you know, she said she apologized and said she didn't want to call anybody animals, and she apologized for that.
What you mean you didn't want to call anybody animals? You did.
That's what she said. Also, apology came out pretty fast. Drew Brees apologized on yesterday as well. And Shannon Sharpe toe into his ass.
Listen.
Toe into his ass yesterday.
The world toe into him yesterday.
But Shannon Sharpe, he broke it down. You know what I like about Shannon Sharpe?
He break it down.
He breaks it all the way down. You know what I mean? He broke it all the way down.
Told that man he should probably go ahead and retire.
Yeah, and I agree. Yeah. I agree. I completely agree. You know, folks was burning Drew Brees jerseys all over the world.
Like, bro, you don't understand. You play quarterback in the NFL. Remember Any Given Sunday when they stopped liking Willie Beeman?
Yep.
And they didn't even block for him no more.
Yep.
Drew Brees, those other defenses are coming for your head, bro. Whether you think that apology going to save you now.
Nah, I think come
September,
and that's basically what Shannon Sharpe was saying. Like if you don't go ahead and step down, you're gonna have a divided locker room.
Because, I have a question.
Go ahead, Jessica.
And I'm in no way, shape, or form am I defending Trina or mm-hmm. Drew Brees' mm-hmm. comments. My question is: will apologies ever be accepted?
I think, you know what? I think if they are sincere and, you know, because, let me take it piece by piece. Drew Brees, just like Shannon Sharpe, Drew Brees, you made this about the flag. Nobody in no narrative nowhere has brought up the flag at all. You were the first. You was the first to step out and say something about the American flag. Nobody else said nothing about that. Do this whole protesting and everything that's been going on for George Floyd. Nobody has said anything. Not even Donald damn Trump has said something about the American flag. So what was on your heart and your mind, Drew Brees, was the disrespect to the American flag and not the plight of the African American male and females in this country? Yeah, for me, his apology was not accepted. Yeah. No, hell no. Trina,
hers ain't either.
For me, the way she said it and the way she stood on it the first time, she didn't stand on her apology the same way she stood on what she said the first time. So for me, not.
How can, once again, I'm just asking.
I got you.
You know, I'm just trying to process through this in my mind because the part of the fight is to change people's mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know that there are plenty of racists out here. And part of this fight has to be to change people's mentality. So how do you show the genuine that you speak of? How do you apologize so that you can say, I made a mistake and I'm sorry?
With the same energy that you put it out there, you got to put this apology out there. For me, you got to put the apology out there the same way. You can't say, blah, 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 and I stand on that. And then you come back, you probably be like, oh, I'm sorry.
This is the thing. This
nah,
is,
you know what I mean? I don't know if you get what I'm saying, but.
Oh, I understand. I understand what you're saying.
I think a part of the problem is, like you said, Jessica, what a lot of people don't pay attention to is we say stuff like, you got to change somebody's heart. You can't. I can't change how Larry feels. Something has to happen.
You think you can't?
No. Listen to what I'm saying. Something would have to happen to Larry. If you sit there and you talk to an older white person, let's just use this as an example. An older white person who actually came up through the civil rights era, from the South, through the Jim Crow era, the way that their parents taught them. If they've been acting a certain way for 60 some odd years, another person isn't going to change their mind. What will change their mind is something actually happening to that white person. Not talking about violently, not talking about in a negative way. I'm just talking about an experience.
I tend to disagree. And here's why.
Hold on. something will have to happen to that person, because what we do is we go after a person to try and change that person. You can't do that. What you have to do is you have to continue to spread a message and spread love. What we have to do is continue to spread a message and spread love from our hearts, not directed towards, oh, this is what you have to do. You can't tell somebody what they can and can't do. At the end of the day, you can't. If something has to happen to that person in order for that mindset to change, it ain't going to be, because what's going to happen is when two people clash like that who view differently, it's going to be just a boxing match of going back and forth. Well, I was raised this way. I do things this way. Well, you shouldn't do things this way because it should be like this. And then you're just going to butt heads. But what will happen, what will change somebody's mind, like this George Floyd incident. This George Floyd incident wasn't a direct attack towards somebody who was a racist. I guarantee there are still people who are racists out there who still think differently about black people, who still think bad about black people. But do you know how
they've been showing up on Facebook?
Right. But do you know how many white people who never viewed Black Lives Matter, or who never viewed or never took a stand in civil rights, when they saw this incident, and when they saw how blatant this man was in killing George Floyd, that touched them inside. It wasn't a direct shot at that person, but it touched them inside. The San Francisco 49ers, the men in the NFL who cast out Colin Kaepernick, are now speaking up. And Pete Carroll came out of his mouth and said, "We owe Colin Kaepernick," because this George Floyd incident, it wasn't directly at Pete Carroll, but it touched him inside. That's the point that I'm making. It touched him. That experience touched him, and that changed his concept. That changed the concept of some of those executives.
I think that people do have an opportunity to change mindsets through conversation. I think that I agree that you have an opportunity to change mindsets through experience. So yes, I agree with that, but I do not agree with that you can't do it by a conversation. Because if I feel some type of way, and you, Burpee, feel some type of way, and you're explaining to me, and you're explaining it to me, and you're saying that I recognize the hurt and what it is that you're saying to me in that conversation, it might change my mindset because I care about you that much.
But see, that's the key. You got to care about the person that much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's why I say there is an opportunity to change mindset through conversation. That's not off the books.
All right. Snow Liver Larry, the Morning Madhouse. On the way, Miss Jessica's got to get Nosy Neighbor News, is dropping right around 7:24 here in the Madhouse.
Start the whip. Turn up the radio. Your morning is lit. Give me that. With No Limit Larry in the Morning Madhouse on Power 98.
It's the Nosy Neighbor News quickie.
Y'all nosy.
Man, these folks got to get his No cap.
All right, Nosy Neighbors. Your Nosy Neighbor News is right around the corner. Ooh, boy. Laura Ingraham is back at it, taking shots again, and she doesn't even realize it. We're going to talk about that. Jay-Z continues to fight. Got details about that. Kanye West is stepping up. Going to let you know what he's doing. And Snoop Dogg just made a big confession. What is it, fellas?
He stopped smoking weed.
He shot his shot at Gayle King in a DM.
All right. We'll find out what it is. It's coming up in your Nosy Neighbor News next.
I want to know what it is Quick is trying to say.
That's your Nosy Neighbor News.
Quickie,
let's hear that.
What the hell is going on here? What the hell is going on here?
What's going on, Nosy Neighbors? It's Miss Jessica, the girl next door. It is time for your Nosy Neighbor News for Thursday, June 4th. Back in 2018, Fox News reporter Laura Ingraham told LeBron James to shut up and dribble after he criticized President Donald Trump and suggested that he keep his political commentary to himself. Well, fast forward to 2020, Laura has a different message for NFL player Drew Brees after he made his comments not agreeing with anyone who disrespects the American flag. Laura defended him and said he's allowed to have his views about what kneeling and the flag mean to him. LeBron responded by saying, "We are simply tired of this treatment. And to my people, don't worry, I won't stop until I see the change. #ShutUpAndDribble. This powerful black man is coming full steam. If you want to see the comments and hear exactly what she had to say, it's up on my Instagram story at Hey Miss Jessica. Snoop Dogg just made a big confession. The rapper says that he has never voted. But it's not because he didn't want to. He thought that he couldn't because of his criminal record. He says, I have never voted a day in my life, but this year I think I'm going to get out and vote. For many years, they had me brainwashed thinking that I couldn't. He said that his criminal record has been expunged, so now he can vote. Jay-Z continues to fight for the civil rights of Americans, African Americans. The rapper sent his private jet for the civil rights lawyer representing Ahmaud Arbery and his family so that he had no problems attending the preliminary hearing. The probable cause hearing was to determine if the three men involved in the case committed the crimes that they are being charged of and if the case should move forward to trial. Kanye West is stepping up. The rapper donated to the families and the legal teams fighting for Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and George Floyd. And he also set up a fund fully covering the cost of college for George's 6-year-old daughter, Gianna. He also donated to several black-owned businesses in his hometown of Chicago and nationwide. Kanye was also seen on the front line with the Chicago Public School students protesting the death of George Floyd and demanding that Chicago Public Schools cancel their contract with the Chicago Police Department. There are a few powerful NFL players that are demanding that the league admit that it wrongfully silenced protesters like Colin Kaepernick. The powerful video is making its rounds on the net. How many times do we need to ask you to listen to your players? What will it take for one of us to be murdered by police brutality? We will not be silenced. We assert our right to peacefully protest. It shouldn't have taken this long to admit. That's what's heard in the video. Word is the video was put together by New Orleans Saint Michael Thomas, who after he heard his teammate Drew Brees' comments, he thought the video was needed. If you want to see it, it is up on my Instagram story at Hey Miss Jessica. Happy birthday to C's from Black Ink and DJ Mustard. I'm Miss Jessica, the girl next door. That is your Nosy Neighbor News.
Jessica. Part 98 WPG, Charlotte's plug for new hip hop and R&B is No Limit Larry, the Morning Madhouse. And of course, it's Sam 40. And at Sam 40, you gotta hit the hottest hashtag on Instagram. Hashtag Larry Mad.
Woke up this morning with something on his mind. Larry is mad. Now let's see why.
I'm mad. Are you mad? Are we mad?
You know what it is, man. Speak my mind, speak my truth, and tell it like it is. That's what I do on hashtag Larry Mad. Be bad about a lot of stuff. And, you know, today I'm mad about everybody that sit back and procrastinate. Y'all keep acting like you going to go home and you know for sure when you hit that door, you going to wake up and be here tomorrow. You keep putting stuff off today that you can, I mean, you keep putting stuff off till tomorrow that you could do today because you keep saying, I just do it tomorrow. I just do it tomorrow. Well, let me sit right here and let me tell y'all right now, tomorrow is definitely not promised. If anything that this week right here has really taught me and let me see and keep showing up over and over and over and over again is the theme of tomorrow is not promised. Two homeboys in 1 week. Lost one homeboy earlier this week to gun violence. Lost another homeboy I found out on yesterday. Y'all know him inside the madhouse. Antonio Robertson.
Antonio, man, used to call up here and say, I'm Burpee best friend.
And I've known Tonio for, man, I can't even think of how long. I've known him since he was what we call in the neighborhood, since a peewee. All he wanted to do was step. All he wanted to do was have fun, play drums and sing and just have a good time. They found him dead on yesterday. R.I.P. and condolences to the family.
And his birthday was yesterday.
So what I'm mad about is everybody that sit back and procrastinate and keep saying, I just do it tomorrow. I'm telling y'all right now, don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today, because tomorrow definitely ain't promised. It might not come. The sunshine might not shine in the morning. So go ahead and do what you got to do. Go ahead and do it today. Stop saying, I'm going to just do it tomorrow. I'm going to get out there. I ain't going to go to the protest today. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I ain't gonna send that money to my homeboy today. I'm gonna do it tomorrow. I ain't gonna call my mama and check on her today. I'm gonna do it tomorrow. Stop putting it off because it might not come. Hashtag Larry Mann.
No limit, Larry.
Well, you did that.
No Limit Larry, the Morning Madhouse. Charlotte's plug for new hip hop and R&B coming up inside the Madhouse. We're gonna be talking to activist Christy Puckett Williams from the city of Charlotte and see her details on what happened on Batesford Road on last Friday night and what's been going on with the protest.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Coming up in the Madhouse. She'll be joining us right around 8:30. And you know what it is right now. It is time to get Burpee's thoughts.
Yeah. Sometimes I have them thoughts. Sometimes I have them thoughts.
All right. Larry, Jessica, it's Friday. It's slowly, not slowly, it's fastly. Is that a word?
Fastly.
Yeah. No. Well, anyway, people starting to like it. Burpee. It's Friday. Quick. It's shots fired. I like that one, Jess. I like that. You brought the chop out today.
You like all of them.
All right, we're going straight into it, baby. Candace Owens.
Oh, yeah.
Fire ass up, Larry.
Fire ass up.
Let me fire this alien face woman ass up. First of all, Candace.
Like
huh?
I didn't mean like that.
Oh. Well, that's what I meant. First of all, crabs in a barrel is the exact point people make when they talk about people like Candace Owens. Don't you get on there and talk about this man George Floyd and the things that he did in his past. Because you know what I want to ask you, Candace Owens? What do you think people will say to you if a cop had their knee in the back of your neck being a black woman? What do you think people going to bring up about you, bring up about your past? Say about you how much of an Uncle Tom you were, how much tap dancing you did for the white man to make them feel like what they do and what they say about black people is justified? Do you think people going to bring that up? Or you think they're going to say she was a black activist? Hell no. Not this culture. We ain't saying that about you. Shots fired.
Boom, 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 boom. Pow, pow. Black-a-ca, black-a-ca. Boom, boom, boom. Pow.
You got a lot of ammo over there, Jess.
Ooh, that was ooh.
A whole lot.
She kept shooting. She was shooting like them boys in New Jack City.
I ain't finished with Candace Owens. Then she gonna sit there and say all these looters and the rioters and the people who are breaking stuff and damaging properties are only black people. Candace, you have got to be one of the most intelligent dummies I have met in my entire damn life. It's people like you. It's people like you that put on, you got on blackface. That's what it is. You got on blackface, Candace Owens, because you're not real for the culture. I was about to say something, but I want to keep my job here at the radio station. You're not real for the culture. We don't want you in this damn culture. You can go somewhere else. You can take Stacey Dash's job over there at Fox News, because we don't want you here no more. Shots fired!
Boom! 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 Boom!
Since I'm on
boom! Boom!
Okay. Since boom! I'm on the roll.
Stop shooting.
Boom!
Stop shooting.
Since I'm on a roll.
Dropping bombs on that
let's
ass.
Let's go ahead and talk about the CMPD since we on it.
Oh, okay.
And y'all want to drop tear gas on these peaceful protesters out there for no reason. Release a chemical, what is it called? Chemical agents on these people for no reason. They got me over here sweating, Larry. Dropping all this stuff. Listen. These people are protesting because they want to see change. And y'all are acting the way we don't want you to act. This is the reason we are protesting. This is the reason we want to get y'all bum ass police officers who out there not doing nothing for the people. This is why we want to get y'all out and get these good people in. We thought having a black police chief was going to do something, but it ain't do much for the city now, did it? Shots fired!
Boom!
Let me take this hot ass jacket off. That's all I got today. I'm sweating. I'm mad. I'm mad.
Going on like they did the protesters.
And those were Burpee's thoughts. Think about it.
What you thought?
Download the Power 98 FM mobile app.
It's a murder.
We're streaming. Take us everywhere.
Check us.
P-I-98-W-P-E-G, Charlotte's plug for new hip-hop and R&B. Oh, no, not my light-skinned baby. Not my light-skinned. They took my light-skinned baby to jail Friday night on Beta 4 Road. No, they didn't take my light-skinned baby with the good hair to jail. She don't be doing nothing to nobody. All she want to do is spread goodness. And all she want to do is make other babies with good hair in the world.
You is dumb. I'm not fooling with you.
What's up, lady?
Listen,
how you doing?
It is Christy Puckett Williams on the line with the Madhouse. Good morning.
Hey, y'all.
Good morning.
Good morning, y'all.
So for the folks in the city who don't know who the hell Christy Puckett is, go ahead and tell them about your organization and everything that you have going on and what do you advocate for here in the city of Charlotte.
So I work with the ACLU of North Carolina, which is the American Civil Liberties Union of North Carolina. We're a national nonprofit organization that has worked on civil rights and civil liberties for the last 100 years. And I specifically am the statewide campaign for Smart Justice Manager. I manage our statewide campaign for that seeks to decarcerate, which means to see more of our people free from incarceration than we see behind the wall.
And speaking of incarceration now, Friday night, Beta Ford Road, you were one of the people who actually got arrested along with Braxton Winston. Let's speak to that. What the hell happened out there?
So I received a phone call from the local NAACP saying that it was getting pretty tense on Beta Ford Road, and where was I? And I was at home, and they were like, can you get down there to see if you can help de-escalate? And I was like, yeah, no problem. I'll go down there. When I got down there, the police had just put on their riot gear, and they were surrounding the police station, like in front of the police station. And very shortly after I got there, they then moved into the street and began to push us back towards LaSalle Street. Braxton and I were there with them. I would estimate maybe around 2 hours before they sprayed us with tear gas. They then, when they shot off the tear gas, then they shot us with rubber bullets and pepper bullets.
Mm.
And then they arrested Braxton about, 10 minutes after that. And when they arrested him, he had just put on his gas mask, and we saw that they were making some moves, and so he was looking back to tell me to get my mask on, and when they just rushed out and got him from the crowd. And so they did the same thing to me about 15 minutes later. I was on my live, and everyone saw me, tell the police, arrest me. I was also walked down Beta Ford Road in handcuffs, and the news broadcasted live me walking down. I call it the Hall of Shame, walking down Beta Ford Road in handcuffs. I did get arrested on Friday. For failure to disperse,
which when you speak of civil liberties now, it is written in the Constitution that we have the right to protest. So why? I mean, I don't know, but why did they begin, the police I'm speaking on, why did they begin to move toward y'all with the tear gas and with the rubber bullets and all that? Because if you're on the sidewalk or you're peacefully protesting, you definitely have that right to do so.
We do have the right to do so, but this is what I want the public to understand about protests, that there are always going to be people in the protests who aren't there for the same reasons. So there are people who are there to get their likes up, to get their shine, to agitate. There are people who are on our side who seek to agitate, and there are people who work for the police officer. They are paid people. And they're going to deny it. They'll never say that they pay people to agitate, but they do. There's a photographer who was actually able to capture on photo from the incident that happened one of the, what we call them, plants. Someone who did something, I don't know if it's throw a rock or whatever, to get it, to justify the excessive use of force and tear gas on the peaceful protesters. So you have one person who we don't see, haven't seen before tonight, don't see them the whole time. They do this incident and then they're gone. We never see them again, right? So they're not really part of our group or our movement, but we get attacked and we bear the brunt of other people's actions.
Now, Christy, let me ask you this question. What do you think? We've seen the protests going on for, nearly a week now? Over a week, actually.
Yeah.
What is the next step?
Well, the next step?
Yes.
We haven't finished this step.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to finish this step first. I need to remind people that, the Montgomery bus boycott took over a year for people to get what they needed. So people are always asking, what's next, what's next? We have to keep the pressure on this first, right? Mm-hmm. We have to be successful at this first before we begin to think about next steps, right? Because what the outcome of this is what helps us dictate and determine what our next step is. But if we don't keep the pressure on right now, the next step will be, we'll be right back where we were. We'll be right back where we were with officers killing black and brown bodies and poor bodies with state-sanctioned violence, with impunity, with not a care in the world. We've saw Dan Cruz Franklin. We've had Jonathan Real. We've had Keith Lamont Scott. We've had our fair share here in Charlotte of unarmed people being killed at the hands of the police. Even if they were armed while they were trying to comply with the police's orders and they were killed, right? We don't see that happening with people who are white in this city. As well as, there were people who came to that event on Friday who were white. They had AR-15s, automatic weapons, magazines on their vests, and they were marching, which is against the law in North Carolina to be involved in a protest or a demonstration with guns. They were not arrested. There was a gentleman on Saturday who had a handgun. And he was arrested by CMPD, but he was black. We had a bail fund. We were able to assist in getting him some jail support and getting him out. He was right back on the scenes last night, every other night since. But CMPD is cherry picking who they enforce the laws on. We were in a riot, not last night, two nights ago. We were in a protest and two white girls stood toe to toe with the police. The same way Braxton and I did on Friday on Betty's Ford Road. They stood there for about 5 minutes. I got it on all of my lives and the police retreated. They didn't shoot those white girls with pepper spray. They didn't shoot them with rubber bullets. They didn't traumatize them in the ways they traumatize black and brown bodies. And so we just have to tell the truth about what's happening. That's why lies is beautiful, because the police lie, but lie
all the time. All the time they lie.
Christy, I have been watching your lives every single night. I literally turn them on and I would fall asleep to them because I'm just watching what's going on. And what I saw last night, I was like, whoa. And that's why I hit you up this morning and was like, can I please post just a piece of what it was? It was horrific what those protesters, those peaceful protesters were experiencing and what you were experiencing, especially when you turned that camera around and I saw your face and what you were experiencing. Can you talk about exactly what happened?
So when I first got there, it was about 8:30 and the crowd was down on McDowell and Trace, on the backside of the jail. And they were kind of like in a standoff. When I say standoff, it wasn't like toe to toe, but like the crowd had stopped, the police had blocked their way. And so when I walked up, they kept deploying what they call flashbangs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's these things that they throw out and they bang and they spark and they just make more noise than anything. It's meant to like scare you and disperse the crowd. And so one of the pastors, they kept flashbanging. One of the pastors ran over to where we were, and he's on my live. He had a face full of mace, where they just maced him dead in his face, like, y'all, pepper sprayed him. And the pepper spray that the police used, it looks like the canister looks like a fire extinguisher. So that's how, it's not like a little air freshener, you know, aerosol can. It's a steady stream of these peppers in your eyes. So when that happened, everybody ran, and we ran up 4th Street. So we ran down McDowell to 4th, we cut up by the jail, and we walked straight up 4th Street. When we got to the college, between College and North Tryon, is when the police boxed us in from both sides. They were up in the parking garage shooting at us with pepper bullets and rubber bullets. And they began to deploy so much smoke, y'all, so much tear gas that I thought I was dying. Like, I literally thought, this is it. This is how I'm going to die, because every breath that I took, I was taking in a chemical agent. I couldn't get to oxygen, and people were running and scrambling, and you couldn't see anything. And then you have officers up above shooting down into the crowd, and it was just utter chaos. It was chaos, chaos. So it was a parking garage right there. People, the gate was like halfway up. People were ripping that up to go into under the gate. Now, I'm from Winston Trails Expo for show. I know you don't run in nowhere.
Not Winston Trails Expo for show.
You don't run in nowhere that you don't know if you can get out. So I was like, that's not a good option for me. So what I did was I thought to myself, well, they can't, all this tear gas, I can't see the police. They can't see me. I had to walk dead into the line of fire right past them, and they shot at me. They shot. I didn't care because I had to get to oxygen. Because where they had boxed us in at, there were two big buildings on the sides. So there was no fresh air able to come. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like a smoke just everywhere, and you just couldn't catch your breath. So I had to go out to the intersection to get fresh air, and at that point I was alone, so that made me a target, an easy target to just shoot. They shot, 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 till I got across the street. I hid in some steps, and that's when I was able to turn the camera around And that's when I felt like, okay, I'm safe, because in that tear gas, it was so thick and heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't breathe. I felt like this is how when people have asthma, how they felt. I don't have asthma, but taking in air and not being able to breathe is the scariest thing in the world. It's like like you're drowning. You know what I mean? And you don't know, so you just panic. And then the panic is what makes you not be able to really breathe either, because you start hyperventilating. It was really bad. There was press in there. There was pastors in there. There were photographers in there. We were peaceful. We hadn't chucked any rocks, no water bottles, nothing at the police. Nothing. And they dumped on us like that.
Pie 98 WPG, Charlotte's Bluff with New Year Bobby and RB. We got more with Christy Puckett when we come back at Pie 98.
From the True Liant Federal Credit Union Traffic Center.
Power 98 WPG, Charlotte's Plug for New Hip Hop and R&B. Talking to activists in the city, Christy Puckett Williams. And, Christy is back live inside the Madhouse. We talked to the mayor earlier this week, and we was talking about, we asked her about this particular incident. And she said that she watched it. I'm guessing since she watched it, she was at home somewhere watching it. And she said her response was like, you know, she doesn't know why this was done. What would be your words to the mayor? Because I know you've had run-ins with the mayor. So what would be your words to the mayor right now?
It's her duty to know what's happening in her city. Mm. She's ultimately responsible for the residents of Charlotte. You know what I mean? Of Charlotte. She's responsible. And it's unacceptable. I know she's the mayor, and I think we just have to dissect what the mayor's power really is.
Mm-hmm.
She's a tiebreaker for city council. Her power, I mean, she has some power, but she doesn't have as much power as Marcus Jones, the city manager, who directly impacts who the chief of police and the fire chiefs and all of those things are. So our real target here is Marcus Jones. We need to understand, why is Marcus Jones okay with his police force using tactics, militarized tactics, against the people and taxpayers in this city? We literally fund the police department, the people, and they are now using all of their militarized equipment, all of their tactics against those same people.
Mm-hmm.
They're treating us as if we are the enemy.
Let me rephrase my question, because I asked what the next step is, but it seems we've been protesting for years upon years. Yeah, it took Montgomery. It took over a year for things to change there. But we've been doing this for years. It became popularized when Colin Kaepernick started doing it at the football games. But prior to him, we had been protesting. But after the protest, what should be the next step? What should be done after the because clearly peaceful protest, let's be honest, it ain't getting nothing done. Nothing's been happening, but we're getting tear gas and pepper spray.
I think it's getting a lot done. I think people are now seeing, people who didn't know before are now seeing that the police do lie, that they escalate, that they agitate. So if it's nothing else but exposing the truth about police and policing in this city, everybody who watched that live knows that we were peaceful. They could see we were peaceful. We've covered it all since Friday night. So if people threw rocks, you saw them throwing rocks on my live. If they were throwing water bottles, you saw them throwing water bottles. There are people breaking windows on my live. I capture it all. You feel what I'm saying? But what I do know is that property is not the same value as a human life. And so we just have to continue to tell the truth. Exposure. We have to educate. We have to engage, and we have to expose truths about the system. But we also have to organize and mobilize, and that's what we're doing. So it's not just an unorganized, peaceful protest. There is a long game, but I would be a fool to tell you the long game on the radio.
You speak about education, and as I watch your lives, you do that when you're out there with the protesters. You're sort of saying, you know, hold on, do this. You have tools that are with you in your book bag and things like that. By the way, you got to throw them Adidas away. You can't go out there in them Adidas no more. Those
I got a new pair of Adidas. They good too.
Now we're gonna. I'm gonna get you some Nike Air Max.
Message to protesters.
You want out there. Thank you.
I was saying, what is your message to protesters that are listening today? What should they do when they are out there and they are protesting?
So when you're out and you're protesting, number one, you have to make sure you have masks, water, milk, snacks. I mean, last night we walked 12 miles through the city. You know what I mean? And so if you're not used to walking, that can be a lot. And I'm not used to walking. I've walked 40 miles throughout the city since Friday. And so you can get blisters.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get real good shoes. You have to be prepared to run. You have to keep your head on a swivel. You have to enter at your own risk. The potential for you to be seriously injured is that I've been hit by rocks, y'all. So when the police see talking about they've been hit by rocks, hell, the people been throwing rocks, them rocks don't have no direction.
just like a bullet. You know what I'm saying? So when they talk about what happens to them as officers, they have on full body armor, y'all. Let's just remember that. Bulletproof vests, all of this stuff. We as the protesters generally don't have any of that. They dump on us. They're literally dumping on unarmed, unprotected people. If we throw a water bottle at them, they got on everything in the world to protect that. So protect yourself as much as you can. Stand in solidarity with the community. Stick with the group. Don't go off by yourself. I mean, we've seen them jump out of trucks and drag people out the crowd, you know, and then they surround us so you can't see what's happening. And my thing is, if you arresting somebody and you're not beating them, why are you trying to block us from seeing what's happening? You know what I'm saying? If you know that what you're doing is justified and just, why are you blocking us from seeing what's happening? We've seen them throw people, drag people, all kinds of excessive force that's happened. The police pushed us last night. They pushed an attorney on Saturday night. Now that officer has so many complaints because all the people who watched it. But guess what they did last night? They didn't have their badge numbers or their names on their uniforms because they didn't want my followers and the followers of QC Nerve to report them. That's against North Carolina law. Police, how we know that's the real police if you don't have your name and your badge number? You feel what I'm saying? So there was a lot of protocols that were broken. And us as being protesters, knowing the protocols and the policies and the procedures is important, because if you don't know them, then you don't know when they're breaking them. You don't know when they're violating them. That's why us being out there to document, to shape the narrative is so important, because the media is going to use whatever narrative they want to. And we know that historically the media is anti-black, does not portray black people in humanizing and in compassionate and empathic ways, right? So that's why I'm out there every night, because we get to tell our story through our own voice, through our own narrative, you know, through our own lens and our own perspective.
I'm having a hard time, and this is not directly towards you personally. I'm having a hard time because the system's been exposed. We saw that with Rodney King. We saw that with Philando Castile. We saw that with Trayvon Martin. We saw that with Alton Sterling. My question is, I understand. I love seeing us come together and protesting. I'm loving it. I'm not saying don't do it, but I'm saying when are we going to come together and walk into the courtroom, walk into the federal building and demand that we get protesting is only going to get us to a certain point. We've been doing it for 50, 100 years. So my thing is, when are we going to get to the point where we're like, okay, you know what I think of when I see, and I ask about walking into the federal court, I think of that scene from The Color Purple when Suge was coming down and they singing, "Speak to me, Lord," and all those people are marching down the hill and they go into the church. I view that church as the federal building. When are we going to go in there and say, this is what we demand as black people start happening to us? That's why I'm asking, what's the next step to organize that part of it? The protest, that's the easy part.
Actually, it's not the easy part. That's right,
where you get that from?
And so
that's
not easy. I would encourage you.
It's not easy to protest?
So
no.
I would encourage you to learn more about it. Because protest is one arm of our organizing tactics. Civil disobedience is one arm. Again, I'm at policy tables, y'all. I just don't come out here and protest and talk crazy on the radio or on my live or nothing like that. I'm at policy tables. I meet with leaders. You know what I'm saying? I got court watches, over 100 trained court watches here in Mecklenburg County that when the courts do reopen will be in there to see what's happening in those courtrooms. They've been doing that for a whole year. You know what I'm saying? So we have a multifaceted plan of action to bring about accountability and transparency within the criminal legal system. But the criminal legal system is a huge beast. And we have to dismantle it brick by brick. Everyone needs to know, number one, understand the system before they can understand how to dismantle the system. But poverty and the violence of poverty is what disenfranchises and disconnects black people so much, because part of what we need to do to be civically engaged is to be educated. But there are so many barriers to civic engagement, right? There's so many barriers to civic engagement. City council meetings happen at what time? 6 o'clock. When we have them in person, it's 6 o'clock. There's no child care available. Parking is difficult. Getting down there. You know what I'm saying? So there's lots of barriers to why people don't do the things that they could do to create change. But that's why those of us who do have the privilege, the voice, the platform, that's where we come in. So I encourage you, since you have a platform, you work for the radio station, come out, protest, but also go to meetings, meet with your elected officials. You have followers. Y'all put the pressure on them. I don't have as many followers as y'all. You feel what I'm saying? So use your privilege. I use, as Larry said, he called me light skin. I use my light privilege. I know that my proximity to whiteness, is why they don't run up on me as quickly as they do other people that are darker than me. You see what I'm saying? So that's why I'm on the front line. And my black, darker brothers and sisters are behind me. You see what I'm saying? Because I know that they're going to reach around me to try to get to there. You remember that scene from Malcolm X when he had the people go to the hospital? He had his line marched up and the police officer looked at the other police officer and said, that's too much power for one
that's
man to have.
That's too much power for one man to have.
That's my point. That's it right there. That's my point.
That's exactly
right
what happened. So, but this is how we build our power. So you got to build power before you can exercise power. So part of protesting is bringing people into the movement. And once we bring them into the movement, that's the on-ramp to the movement. And once we bring them into the movement, then we begin to educate them about why them remaining in the movement is important. And then we help people get registered to vote. And then we teach them about who is on that ballot and how that person's power affects their daily life. That is what we do. So we've been doing those things. We're going to continue to do those things. What we need is people who have the most privilege, a.k.a. white people, hello, to follow the lead of black people. Don't ask questions, Karen, Chad, and Stephanie. I always want to know why. Just do what black people are leading you to do.
Just do it.
Like Nike, just do it.
Thank you, Christy, for tapping in with the Madhouse. We always, we definitely appreciate you. If you don't know Christy, you need to get to know her. How can we follow you on social media, Facebook and Instagram?
So my social media, Instagram is at Christy_1979. My Facebook is Christy Puckett Williams. And Larry, I can't wait to see my Air Maxes that you're going to buy because I know they're going to be fly.
Come on, man. You already know. All you got to do is give me a size and I got you.
5'9".
Okay, I got you.
All right, y'all. Thank y'all.
This is WPEG Concord, Charlotte, Gastonia, Rock Hill.
Way more fresh.
Charlotte's number one for hip hop.
598 WPG, Charlotte's plug for new hip-hop and R&B. It's No Limit Larry in the Morning Madhouse. On the way to your radio, you already know how it goes down. We're going to be playing back your responses to the Madhouse question of the day, which was the Madhouse question of the day was what today, Miss Jess?
We wanted to know who would you support as a leader in this movement?
This movement that's going on right now, who would you support as a leader? And people been tapping in on my Instagram and my Facebook on this question. What about you, Burt?
I would like to see Jamie Foxx. He's been very vocal. Nick Cannon. They haven't been as in the open, like social media, but they've been on the ground, their feet to the ground. So I wouldn't mind them leading the people.
Okay. All right, well, coming up, we're going to let you know what Madhouse Nation had to say, and we're going to play back their responses as well. Charlotte's plug is Pod 98.
Start the whip. Turn up the radio. Your morning is lit.
Give me that.
With No Limit Larry in the Morning Madhouse on Power 98.
No Limit Larry, the Morning Madhouse, Charlotte's plug for new hip hop and R&B.
Every weekday morning from 5:30 till 10 a.m. with No Limit Larry in the Morning Madhouse on Power 98. Charlotte's plug for new hip hop and R&B.
Thank you, Big Dog. I appreciate it. All right, No Limit Larry, the Morning Madhouse. Y'all know what we do about this time. The Madhouse question of the day, which was what today, Miss Jessica?
We wanted to know during these times, who would you support as a leader?
And
John Tales Joyner. John Tales Journey said Governor Cooper.
Okay.
Meek's Beat for You said Michelle Obama, Killer Mike, T.I., and Amanda Seales.
Mm.
My Diva 1166, a.k.a. my sister Dion, said Michelle Obama or the Kennedy Senator.
I don't even read that one. Somebody echoed A. Marsh 11 said Sean King, Killer Mike, or Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp was another one. Dream Rich 2 said that. Somebody else said Obama, of course, and Sunshine Anderson tapped in. She said, it's so many. She said, Sean Keen, Tamika Mallory, Grassroots Law, Until Freedom, Lee Merritt. She said, it's so many. Somebody also tapped in and said, do y'all think we should name a leader? Who is fresher than me? Said, do y'all think we should name a leader? Because every single solid one we've had has been assassinated besides Farrakhan.
You
do got a point, though.
What I said earlier. Nobody wants to step up because of what happened. Not saying that they shouldn't, but nobody wants to be in that position to where they fear that their life may be taken, which to me is a problem.
Well, there's people that are still doing it. Like, you know, Sean King's been arrested for being out and doing stuff. So, I mean, there's people that are still doing it.
It's people taking leads and doing
it. Right, and taking risks. And you know, even the protesters out here taking risks. When you go out and you protest on a nightly basis.
Did you see The Rock's message last night?
I did not.
Dwayne Johnson?
I did not.
It's an 8-minute message on his Instagram, and his simple question was, where are our leaders? It's that simple.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is the people that go out here and protest, they put their life on the line each and every day. When you got police that corner you off and shoot you with tear gas, shoot you with rubber bullets. So, I mean, these people that put their life on the front line every day. So I don't think people are afraid to go say, hey, I'm a leader, or I'm this, or I'm that. I just think it just hasn't been established as well as it was during the Malcolm and Martin days. That's my thinking. And we had,
I think also that we have a problem. We also have, there are some people that have a tendency that when people do step up, they nitpick and they go digging. And I don't want to support this person because they did this and they did that. I think that also makes it difficult to identify leaders.
They did the same thing with Martin Luther King. They said he had plenty of women.
Yeah, but that was later on.
He was gay.
That was later on.
But we also have things like social media now.
Which
makes messages easier to spread. And you know, we see it with cancel culture.
Yeah.
It's very, very easy to cancel somebody.
And the other part of that is now back during the civil rights movement, none or very few, it was very few more toward the none category that of black folk that had made it. Now you have black people that have quote unquote not necessarily made it, but have advanced in their life. So you got some black people that sit back and say, well, it doesn't affect me, so I ain't gonna get involved. Or it doesn't affect me, so I ain't gonna say nothing. Or it doesn't affect me because it ain't affecting my bank account. Whereas back during the civil rights movement, it was affecting every single black American because had none of us made it, quote unquote. So I think that with that time, that's why we have what we have now, where people say, well, this person can't lead, or to Ms. Jessica's point, or I'm not going to support that person because blah, 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 blah. All of them, everybody had to focus on somebody to support because nobody had made it. Mm-hmm. Nobody had made it. So we had to all get in the same cup. We had to get in the same car and drive the same direction. Now you have people driving in different directions because some people feel like they have made it. And to me, some people don't forget what it's like.
We look at it right now with everybody that's out here protesting. We're so judgmental about the way people protest. I want to see you on the front lines. You aren't doing enough. Don't protest this way. Don't protest this way. Don't do it that way. It's unorganized. It's unorganized due to the judgment.
I agree. It's definitely unorganized.
All right, Charlotte's plug for new hip hop and R&B, man. Thank y'all. Y'all
That's
tap how we in.
Need a leader.
Y'all tap in on the Madhouse question of the day each and every morning. Hashtag MHQOTD. We play responses back at 9:25.
It's No Limit Larry in the Morning Madhouse voicemail. The views and opinions expressed are those of the Power 98 listeners and not the views and opinions of Power 98 or its advertisers.
What the hell is going on here?
What's going on, nosy neighbors? It's Miss Jessica, the girl next door. It's time for your nosy neighbor news for Thursday, June 4th. Back in 2018, Fox News reporter Laura Ingraham told LeBron James to shut up and dribble after he Donald Trump and suggested that he keep his political commentary to himself. Well, fast forward to 2020, Laura has a different message for NFL player Drew Brees after he made his comments about not agreeing with anyone who disrespects the American flag. Laura defended him and said he's allowed to have his views on what kneeling and the flag means to him. Now, LeBron did respond by saying, "We are simply tired of this treatment. And to my people, don't worry. I will not stop until I see change." Hashtag shut up and dribble. This powerful black man is coming full steam.
That's what's up. And he should have said something. I'm sick of her. I'm sick of her, too.
I mean, my goodness. If that isn't blatant racism. One athlete can't give his opinion, but the other one is entitled to his.
Right.
It's crazy. I mean, that's just blatant.
Yeah, it just goes to the privilege.
Well, Snoop Dogg has just made a big confession. The rapper says that he has never voted, but not because he didn't want to. He just thought he couldn't because of his criminal record. He says, "I never voted a day in my life, but this year I think I'm gonna get out and vote. For so many years they had me brainwashed thinking I couldn't." He says that his criminal record has been expunged, so now he can vote. I sort of struggle with this.
Why you say that? That you struggle with it?
because I just, with all of the talk around the importance of voting, mm-hmm. and especially with him being a celebrity and the circle that he runs in and them expressing how important it is for them to vote and him being so vocal mm-hmm. on things like voting and the things that are going on within the culture, I think that you would have just been a little bit more responsible to go find out about something like that. And I think that your wording of saying, I think I'm going to get out and vote. No, you need to go. I'm going to get out and vote. It is important. I just think that I just struggle with this one.
I got you. Here's the thing. You know, to Snoop Dogg's point, there are a lot of people out there, a lot of felons out there who don't know, you know, at the end of all your servitude that you can definitely get out and vote. Because it's not like when they release you, they tell you, hey, you know, once you finish your probation, or if you're not on probation, if you completed your whole sentence, now you can vote. They don't give you that speech as you're leaving prison. They don't give you that speech. So these things are left for you to find out on your own and through your own transmission. I understand what you're saying about Snoop Dogg being a celebrity and him being vocal, but sometimes, even during those times, it really doesn't dawn on you, or you really don't pay attention. And I'm not trying to make an excuse for him, but he probably was just like, you know, I'm a felon because felons have been told so long that you lose that is one of the rights you lose once you become a felon.
They don't believe that that speech has never been made around Snoop Dogg.
I can believe it.
They don't tell you that when you're walking out, but that doesn't stop you from finding out.
But if I tell you over and over and over, you don't have that right. You don't have that right. You don't have that right. So now I've been told this for 15, 20 years. So I'm not even going to research if I had a right, because I don't see a purpose, because I don't think that I have it. So
I can understand that this happens.
And it's a lot of problems out there that I don't know. This
is Snoop Dogg.
Right.
Yeah, and he is privileged. He has access to so much. He is at the table for so many conversations.
Right.
And I just can't see that this conversation has not come up around him. He has that responsibility.
Well, that's, I mean, be out here.
That's what he said. So we can only go off of what he said and what he says.
Drew Brees also apologized. Don't mean we believe him.
Yeah.
But Drew Brees was talking about a totally different subject. Stay on topic.
No, I'm not talking about the subject. You said what he said. Stay if we're going topic. Off what people said, that don't mean we believe.
It's a whole other subject, though.
No, it's the action.
It's a whole other subject and how somebody
it's
how I
the
feel.
Action.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to go on to the next story.
I can't get my point out because nobody wants to.
No, you got your point out, but it just seems as if you two are not going to agree on this.
We're definitely not going to agree.
Everybody just has a difference of opinion on this one. Everybody.
That is.
Yeah. I'm not cutting you off, but you know, it just seems like y'all are going to go back and forth. So there are a couple of NFL players that are demanding that the league admit it wrongfully silenced protesters like Colin Kaepernick. The powerful video is making its rounds on the net. They say, how many times do we need to ask you to listen to your players? What will it take for one of us to be murdered by police brutality? Well, we will not be silenced. We'll assert our right to peacefully protest. It shouldn't have taken this long to admit. Word is the video was put together by New Orleans Saint Michael Thomas, after he heard his teammate Drew Brees make those comments about condemning kneeling for the anthem. Now, if you want to see this video, it's up on my Instagram story at Hey Miss Jessica.
You know, the problem I have with all these athletes speaking out on Colin Kaepernick saying on this is not as many athletes stood up and spoke out when Colin was actually doing it in the league. Like, they're upset at what Drew, I'm sorry, I said earlier with Colin Kaepernick. Everybody's upset about what Drew Brees said. But 4 years ago, not as many athletes stood up and said, I'm behind Colin. This is right.
I disagree with that, though.
No, I'm not saying they didn't. I'm saying not as many.
I disagree with that, because every team had players on it that wanted to kneel for the anthem or didn't want to come out for the anthem. So I disagree with that. Ooh. Every single NFL team, which is what, 32 teams in the NFL, every single team had players on the team who actually wanted to stay in the locker room. They had a whole big discussion and fallout about this thing, about this Colin Kaepernick protest. And because a lot of players, even here, you remember Julius Peppers stayed in the locker room, Thomas Davis, it was so many players that wanted to come out and wanted to, that stood with Colin Kaepernick. But that's, and because they stood up and said something, they wanted to stand with Colin Kaepernick. That's why the NFL went to enacting the rules that they had to come out. They had to come out the locker room. So how you gonna say they didn't stand with Colin Kaepernick when the whole NFL, they took the whole fight to the NFL behind what Colin Kaepernick did?
Because after the NFL said about the ruling, oh, well, you're gonna be punished for this, nobody stood up and said, okay, I'll take that fine.
A lot of them took some fines. Eric Reed is one of them.
Nobody wrote a letter. Nobody wrote a letter.
They did write a letter.
To the NFL like they did. Nobody made a video like they did just now to send to the NFL like, this is our plight. To send to the owners. This is what we're going through. Do you see it now? Nobody did that.
Yeah, I'm not going to say nobody because some people did. Added element that we have to throw in there now is that the NFL is now speaking out saying, yeah, we are condemning this behavior too. And so I think there are some players, to Larry's point and to your point, Burpee, that are like, we've been trying to tell you all this. We've been trying to tell y'all, you know, and this goes again, back to the whole fact that you can't tell people how to protest. We can't tell people how to protest.
Agree.
You know, you're putting some expectations. We're putting expectations on people with not exactly understanding all of the consequences that might come along with it for that person.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I get what you're saying and I get what Larry's saying. I just think that there are some new added developments. And now for people to be able to say, we'll have to wait and see what actually happens when the season comes along. And if the NFL allows these players to protest the way that Colin Kaepernick did. Is the NFL going to stick to it? We'll have to see how this plays out.
We shall see.
Happy birthday to DJ Mustard and C's from Black Ink. I'm Miss Jessica, the girl next door. That's your nosy neighbor.
Jessica. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.